This is the Realm of Agape Christian Church.
We're going to be in Deuteronomy 6. I won't read the whole thing, so I'm going to go to the main two scriptures, verses 4 and 5. Thank and praise the Lord for everybody. Amen. Thank God for His presence.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, help us to give the message as you have moved me to prepare and meditate accordingly for the spirit and vision of this message to be communicated as you would have it. We know you're able. I get self out of the way and allow your spirit to prevail. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, King James Version, read as follows. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Amen. It's a lot of prophetic poetry in these verses, and the Holy Ghost is helping me to see Hebraically, even though I don't speak ancient Hebrew. All capitals, the Lord. Amen. We thank God. God is all and all. God is always all in. Amen. So all is coming before what we should do. Amen. Do what? Love. As God is loving, He's loving us with everything. So we got to love the Lord how? In reciprocation with all thine heart. We're echoing back. And with all thy soul. So the mind is the heart and what your purpose is. Living a holy life. God gives you a new heart to do that. We don't rely on the old, decrepit, innately sinful heart. We need a brand new heart. And the old one is laid aside, put in the corner, because it's the old man. We have to nourish the new man. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. He makes all things what? New. Amen. So, amen. He transforms us from a soulish realm perspective with that new heart. The heart is instructing the soul. The stuff of the soul. Your pursuits. Your longings. Your will. What you purpose and will to do. The seat of your emotions. That's the soul. It's like raw materials needing some kind of purpose to set them forth to do something. One songwriter said, you gotta serve somebody. It might be the Lord, it might be the devil, but you gotta serve somebody. The soul is looking to what? Serve something, somebody. And we're supposed to love the Lord. In other words, submit ourselves and give ourselves over to this Creator. Lovingly, in reciprocation, He's given all, we give all right back. Don't take away any part of it, give it all to Him. Once you take a little back, you are walking backwards. You are now in breach, amen, of covenant. Amen, it's better than contract. Covenant, amen. Birthed in newness in God's power. And we walk in agreement with God. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? Hosea was given that vision, amen. And we need to realize we have to, amen, walk and not be weary. Run, make some progress, not give up. Amen. If you got your whole heart in it, you're all in. You're going to do it. Amen. Because the Holy Ghost came to help you do it. Amen. And your mind is made up. Your soul is also commanded to get into it too. And it says, and with all thy soul and with what else? With all thy might. That's all your substance, stuff you have. Your cars, your houses, and all your stuff, right? Everything that you are in possession of. We give it all to the Lord. So this gives us new evidence that God cares about our subscriptions. Amen. We need to do an analysis and audit on our subscriptions. Some saints have subscribed to Playboy. We need to, amen, repent. Amen. Subscribe to so many things. Some institutions are into immorality. We need to just audit ourselves and make certain that we are not knowingly contributing and supporting immoral purposes. Amen. If we are tried and true people of God who want to live holy as God has instructed for us to live, there has to be a Holy Ghost audit over all these factors listed in these verses. Your heart needs an audit. Your soul needs an audit. Everything you have and own and use needs an audit. How you spend your time, redeem the time, for the days are evil. In other words, make good use, make good holy use of the time, because the days are evil. When it says, amen, redeem the time, for the days are evil, right before that part of the sentence, there must have been some holy thing you needed to do. So redeeming the time is of a holy construct, amen, not something that we do with our innate sinfulness, as we say in the Christian world, living a carnal lifestyle, amen. The Holy Ghost is prompting us that it is high time for us to focus on loving the Lord the way he ought to be loved. We will experience greater things in God when our hearts are exclusively yielded to his divine purpose. The enemy of God, who is also the enemy of all who will love God, seeks to steal, kill, and destroy the heart of anyone seeking to love Jesus. Jesus lovers, amen. Hopefully you're one of those. I claim to be, amen. I'm working on the quality of that through the Holy Ghost, amen. But Jesus lovers need to improve the use of all available weapons against the devil. Don't forget, we have been in a few weeks dealing with hindrances to watch and pray about. Two parts, right? And here we are looking at this fact that we must become more familiar with and maintain our primary weapon. The Holy Ghost has given us what that primary weapon is, and going to instruct us about using the eyes and heart of God to defeat Satan. That's what we're dealing with today. Using the eyes and heart of God to defeat Satan. Amen. Amen. Didn't the devil go after Jesus? Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and then here comes the devil like a snake, ready to annihilate when you're at a weak point. Jesus wasn't weak spiritually, but he was certainly weak physically, being hungered, amen, as the scriptures say in the King James, at hungered, amen. We don't speak that way. We say stuff like, he was hungry, amen. My God, yes, he was hungry. Brother needed a sandwich or something, amen. Thank God. My God, amen. Tradition has that in the wilderness, there may have been cacti here and there, and he was able to get water from some plants and such. You can have water enough to be able to sustain your body to keep going. You don't want your body to shut down all the way. You want it to keep fighting the good fight of faith. So you need at least some water, amen. So the devil didn't say, turn this sand into water, did he? No, he said, turn these stones, what? Into bread. He needed some physical food. Yeah. Thank God. So his body could break it down and he could assimilate all the nutrients, vitamins and such. And his body could have everything it needs to move forward in strength and energy. But we see that there's a weapon Jesus was showing us to use our primary weapon against Satan is loving Jesus by trusting and obeying him. Amen. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to what be happy in Jesus, but to what? Trust and obey. We say we trust him, but do we really obey him? We obey him on some parts, but not others. That means we are not obeying him. God is saying it has to be an all-inclusive kind of obedience. Amen. I'm good on chapters 1, 2, and 4, and 5. Forget about 3. That's too hard. I don't think God meant for that to happen. No, he has it in his canonized word. Stop skipping over stuff. He has to be obeyed exclusively and completely. Amen. In excellence. Not leaving anything out. Jesus didn't leave anything out. Whatever God told him to say, he said. Jesus had his Father's eyes. Amen. We need our Father's eyes. We need his eyes. Jesus, amen, felt the way God felt about things. He had his Father's heart. Amen. We need our Father's eyes and his heart. The scripture says in verse 5a, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." Amen. This message focuses mainly on that part, loving the Lord with all of our heart. This word heart, we got to look at it Hebraically to interpret it correctly. It has a profound meaning dealing with our mind, our understanding, and our courage. Amen. Your whole mind should be set on things where? Above. Where Christ sits at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where we ought to place our affections. Our affections is when we gird up the loins of our mind. Those are our affections. Our mind, what we think about, what we understand, where we draw courage from. Amen. It should be a bad or good courage. Yeah, the Bible says you got to give what? Good. Good courage. Because courage could go either way. But your whole mind should be set on things above so that God's divine will can be accomplished through you. He's using us to be light and salt in this world. Amen. We have to be accomplished that way through his power. It's not our own auspices. It's through him. Amen. It's not of works lest any of us should boast. Not what we are able to do on our own. But it is that God gives us, amen, in his power. So this yielding that we experience after obeying him, amen, submitting to and obeying him. So this yielding in turn will lead to further revelation from the Father. Isn't he the Father of lights where there is no variableness nor shadow of turning? He's the Father of lights. That's where all the good and perfect gifts come from. Amen. He's the one that should be guiding your steps. There was a time in my young adult life, right before that, the precursor was that I had a speech that I spoke with my father saying that I felt that I had been relying on him and mom's faith. And I feel God calling me to, amen, pick up my bootstraps and walk and not be weary in the faith that he has given me. I can't just depend on you and mom, your faith as I'm going to college. I got to learn to stand on my own gospel feet. My feet shod with the gospel. I got to stand on my own 2 feet. Amen. It's a weak thing to say, mom and daddy don't want me to do that. You got to say, God don't want me to do that. After you've been transformed, you can really reject stuff that Satan will present to you. No matter where you go, the old saint said, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. Amen. Stay right under the blood so the world will do you no harm. As I got older, I knew what those songs really meant. Amen. Seen them old mothers shaking those old beat up tambourines. They beat it on rhythm and they had 2 or 3 little things left on it, but they were still hitting it. Amen. It wasn't what they were using and what they were hitting, because my instruments were new and better. but I didn't have the Holy Ghost when I was hitting mine. They had the Holy Ghost power. They had experience. Amen. They had walked and not been weary for a long time. Amen. They had walked and they said, I've been with Jesus for a long time. I'm not tired yet. Amen. I said, how could these old people say they're not tired yet? I'm a young man. Even youths begin to fall in tiredness. Amen. But when we give ourselves over to God, he can be the one that will what? Renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings as eagles. Amen. We shall walk and not be weary. We shall run and not faint. Hallelujah. We can experience breakthrough. Yes, we can. As we move forward in power with the mind of Christ. And in essence, when we see things as Christ would have us to see them as a citizen of heaven, we can affect the will of God while we are yet on earth. Amen. This is accomplished because of our heavenly position in Christ, our Savior, and what else? Our Lord. Amen. If he brought you out of stuff, you ought to let him set you up in the higher level of praise and help you to walk and not be weary, run and not faint, and direct your steps. That's what the Lord does. Amen. The world shouldn't be directing my steps. Amen. The social unsaved gurus should not be, amen, guarding and guiding my steps. My God. And I'm not looking for them to hit me up with likes in social media. I'm looking for God, amen, to love me. And I'm going to love him back. And I'm going to, amen, walk and not be weary, run and not faint, and give my all to Jesus. Hallelujah. We need to use the eyes that the Lord gives us in transformation when we are given new life from him. In other words, when we are born again. As the late Christian encyclopedist George Thomas Kurian, he was an Indian fella, he put it this way. The body of Christ is a community of believers who constitute the chronological extension of Christ's earthly incarnation, and who, because of our commitment and obedience to him, serve as his bodily extensions of ministry. We are his hands. We are his feet. We better look with God's eyes. Amen. We better feel and move and believe with God's heart. Amen. Amen. Christ is supposed to be our head, our coach, to get us through this journey called life on earth. We must take his blessings and his chastisements if he is truly going to be considered as our what? All in all Lord. Amen. Lord of everything, not Lord of some things. He could be Lord over my religiosity in a hypocritical fashion. My God, I could be like the grammarians. I could be on stage and knowing how to say this and knowing how to look a certain way. I don't necessarily have to give my whole heart over to it. There's sometimes in life where we gotta have some fun. How do we define fun? My God, that's another thing the Holy Ghost needs to do. Redirect our mind for new definitions. New citizenship, new dictionary. Amen. You need to live according to heaven's standard. God's will be done what? On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. He gives us instructions, gives us this day our daily bread. He gives us instructions on a need to know basis. Amen. We cannot instruct him, but we must humbly submit and commit to his plan for our individual lives. He has a rod and he has a staff as our shepherd because he's walking along ahead of us. And anything in the way, he knocks it out of the way. Amen. Wolves and evil things that want to kill and eat, kill, destroy, annihilate us. He beats them down with that rod. It's a club. It's like a little bat. Amen. And God hits home runs on the devil's head. Amen. On the daily. We just don't know how many demonic heads have been bust open on our behalf. Because our Lord is walking alongside and protecting us. Amen. He's a shield of faith. Amen. He's going to guard and guide us. Amen. He's a fence of protection all around me. He's my shield and buckler. Hallelujah. My strong tower. In him do I put my trust. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Be my shepherd. Hallelujah. Protect me, Lord, with your rod. And if I fall in a ravine, hook me back up. Hook me. I got the hookup. Jesus going to hook me out of that thing and pull me right back. And if I get out of line a little bit, he's going to pull me back in line. Hallelujah, God. He's not going to bust me in the head. He's going to bust the devil in the head. The only thing he used the rod for, dip it in some ink, and amen. Brand me, amen. He's going to put his mark on me. I am my beloved's, and what? He is mine. His banner over me is love, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I belong to the Lord. I am marked by the Lord. Look and see how I'm marked, amen. I got new marks on me, hallelujah. I used to have the little marks of the things that I got hurt by in sin. Amen. And sin did my mother conceive me. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, though. I come into the Lord and God saves me from detriment. But now the devil's going to fight me tooth and nail because I made that decision. And he's going to have all his little henchmen and people that are his puppets. And they're going to do things to help me to know that I got to keep fighting the what? Good fight of faith. And when you fight, you're going to get some bruises. God said it in the prophecy in Genesis 3:15. There's going to be some bruises. But that's all right. That's going to be, amen, the tattoo that said, I have crushed another demon. He might have scratched on me, but I crushed him in the process. You gave me little scratches, but I crushed you. Hallelujah. You are beneath my feet. That's why your feet better be shod with the gospel of preparation and peace. Amen. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Hallelujah. And you can stomp on the devil. Amen. You can't stomp on him if you are enamored with him and walking with him in some kind of false faith and letting him feed you with false food and letting you be enamored with false fellowship. You got to get all that false stuff out of your life. Hallelujah. We got to allow God to instruct us. Stay submitted to the Lord. Stay committed to the Lord. Let his rod and his staff bless and comfort you. Amen. It's a comfort to know that he beats the devil down. It's a comfort to know that he will keep me from falling. Amen. Hallelujah. And he uses both of those tools to provide comfort for us as his sheep. And he's going to help us to experience sunshine. He's going to help us to even get through the rain. Hallelujah. He's going to help us to endure our cross and its pain. Thank you, Lord. Let him mold you. Amen. It's good for you. Let him mold you. Let him make you. You get on the potter's wheel, you're going to feel like, oh, I'm out of line right there. God's going to pull you right in with the potter's hand, the master's hand. Much comes from the master's touch. He's going to put us in line. We're going to get all wobbly and off-centered. He's going to put us back in the center and smooth off the rough stuff. Amen. Make the crooked straight. Oh, if there be any hole in me, he's going to fill up the valleys, fill the holes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And if something's too high, he's going to tear that down and bring it down to a notch or two so that it can come out all even and nice. And we're going to grow in the grace of God as he lifts the clay, as we are spinning on his wheel. He's lifting us up, thinning out the thick stuff so that we could be raised up to a new level of praise and come out as a beautiful vessel for the Lord. Amen. I may be an earthen vessel, but I'm full of the grace of God. I'm full of the goodness of God. Help me preach, Holy Ghost. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. We got to let him mold us. We got to let him make us. It's good for us. Amen. Yes. Based on 1 Corinthians 15:58, our Lord endeavors for us to be encouraged as we seek to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in his work. For as much as we know that our labor is not in vain, long as it's what? In the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes we may feel as though we are alone. Or maybe working for naught. But we must rest assured that pioneering for the Lord is not a new trend, as made evident in Scripture. In Romans 16:5, it says, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. In their what? House. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Amen. So apparently, the local church met in private homes at the very beginning. See Acts 12:12 for that. You can also see 1 Corinthians 16:19 for that. You could also see Colossians 4:15 for that. And even Philemon 2. Amen. One chapter, second verse. There was this gentleman, a British gentleman, the late William Sande. He was a biblical scholar. He wrote as follows. There is no decisive evidence until the 3rd century of the existence of special buildings used for churches, end quote. So you see, people of God, it is the belief of many folk today that the church, which began in a home, will return to meet in the home. Or it may at least be a choice that is made that we will develop a focus of micro discipleship. Amen. We work with small numbers of people to get them to understand what Jesus meant by the holy life. Amen. Then there's no hiding in a crowd. Amen. This works against the hypocrisy that is often found easily in a mega seekership. Folks are just called a watered down version of disciple, a seeker. I'm kind of enamored. I just want to date a little bit. I'm just figuring Jesus out, you know.
Yeah.
I liked some of the hymns. Oh, that other song, that wasn't so cool. What choir sing this Sunday? I'm not going to come because that choir is not as cool for me. What preacher's preaching? I'm not coming. I don't really like that one. You know, what food are they serving? Oh, no. That? Oh, no. I'm going on that other day when they serve that other meal. You know, seekers. So what are we doing? We're tickling the fancies of folk so that they will be enamored enough by us so that they can join in and fill some seats. Amen. They are not seeking the face of God. They are seeking the hands that God has blessed, and we are giving them things. We're giving our pearls out all willy-nilly. My God, we could care less of the result, the effectiveness of it. We want to count how many pearls we have given out. That's the new quote-unquote discipleship. How many folks we were able to bring in and get them to quote a poem in the front. Oh, they're saved. How many got saved today? 20 got saved and baptized. Amen. You might have said in Jesus' name, but Jesus is going to know the sheep from the goats. Amen. He may say, depart from me, I know you not, ye worker of iniquity, because you have not been transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Remember, it's about your mind. Amen. The newness of the new heart. Amen. You need the new mind from glory. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, in the Hebraic sense, let this heart be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the new life, new purpose. Amen. And then you can walk in a saved manner. We're trying to train like pets to do tricks. Say this and you will be holy. Sing like this, dress like this, look like this. When you say amen, don't do it like that. You gotta do it like a certain way, and you will be in there with the holiness. And when you speak, you gotta have a certain emotional exuberance and put some ecclesiastical sounding verbiage in there when you're doing that heightened kind of emphatic emotional emotion thing. Then you're going to be in there. You're going to have that sound,
yeah.
That ecclesiastical, charismatic sound. If we don't have the right sound, we're not in there. We're not in the status quo. We're not going to be invited. We're not going to be elevated. Hallelujah.
Preach some.
This is what the Holy Ghost is going after.
Yes.
We are fastly becoming ones who are enamored with and covetous for the mega seekership of a local assembly.
Uh-huh.
But the Bible is based on micro discipleship.
Hello.
Amen. Each one, reach one. Thank you, Jesus. It takes time to disciple folks. Amen. We're not in the dramatics of a hypocritical kind of mentorship kind of level where we're just going to have barking dogs that bark on cue. Amen. We want people who have been made over by the heaven's command. Amen. By the power of the Holy Ghost come down into their life, and God has given them a new mind from glory. We're not going to train our senses and our carnal life to do holy things. No, we're going to allow the transformed, regenerated self from God come in and live in us. We're going to put aside the carnality and let it sit in a corner, bound and gagged. And we're going to allow the Holy Ghost to come in and let Jesus live through us. Amen. That's the regenerated lifestyle. This is what God is calling for in these last and evil days. Thank God. I don't want to be one in the number that God says, depart from me, I know you not. In other words, I have not made you over. I have not regenerated you. You have not allowed this mind to be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You are none of mine. You are an outsider. You are going to now be gathered and bound up and brought in yonder's place. There's going to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's going to be regret for the times that you could have listened to the promptings of the Holy Ghost and you gave him a deaf ear. You gave him a stiff neck when he said, turn left. No, you wanted to stay where you were. Amen. But God is calling for us to submit and commit to his holy will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to learn how to use the eyes and heart of God to defeat Satan. That's what we're talking about today. Hallelujah. Anyhow, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless his name. See, many of these great big buildings that we call churches with great steeples on them, etc., are nothing more at times than a pile of brick, stone, and mortar. They are mausoleums like we see the Taj Mahal. My God, many square feet. Looks like a park and a castle, but it's a mausoleum. A place where the ancient king buried his beloved wife. My God, and people marvel at the excellence of the building. But churches today sometimes are that. Not living churches that contain a real living and loving body of believers. My God, the church was never intended to be spoken of as a physical building. We had a man come into a snag with the school district where my kids were when they were young in elementary age. And my daughter wanted to bring one of her favorite books to read during the book reading, the Lord's book, the holy book, the Bible. I mean, what's the matter? It's a book. Thank you, Lord. But the teacher, amen, was so angry. We could see the hue of her countenance before we got into the classroom. Amen. It's like a hellish red. My God. She was, amen, angry with the fact that our daughter decided to bring the Bible. Amen. Thank God. And I had to call them and explain. Amen. And they were like, where's your church? They were looking for a physical building. And I said, the Bible says, the book that you don't want to read, but my daughter does read, the Lord that we serve from that book defines a church as the people. Amen. Not a physical building. Amen. And a matter of fact, we are the building. The Holy Ghost uses us as his temple. But she didn't have time to hear all of that. She said and reiterated, yes, but where is your church? They don't listen. Amen. They have ears but cannot hear. My God, they need to be born again. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They have not experienced the God of the Bible. But my little daughter had already experienced him at a young age. I thank God for that. You see, in this ancient day that we're studying about in the scripture, for the first 3 centuries, the church was the what? Body of believers. And met where? In homes. Like that of Brother Epaphroditus. As noted by R.F. Youngblood, theologian, evidently Epaphroditus was Paul's first convert in the Roman province of Achaia. Epaphroditus means praiseworthy, sort of like my name. Amen. That means the same thing, Anthony. Amen. So that was like my ancient cousin back then. Epaphroditus was my ancient cousin, maybe. Amen. Thank God. A Christian, formerly from Asia, who later lived in Rome. Amen. Romans 16:5 says so. He was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Amen. And look at what the fruit did. It birthed, amen, someone who was not ashamed to represent God in an unsaved culture. When they were meeting to drink and do all kinds of stuff to get inebriated and ponder all the thoughts of secular humanism, this brother was feasting on the Lord's word and instructing people, amen, in the things of God. You see, we need to be in position like this fellow. As God begins to pour the latter rain anointing on us to facilitate the advancement of his kingdom, we need to be in place, ready to receive from God. Whether you are completely ready to accept his challenge or not, you must submit if you want to experience divine breakthrough in your life. You must give in to the divine will of God, crying out, "Nevertheless, not my will, but what? Thy will be done." Amen. Certainly the power of the Holy Spirit can help us all to get through certain seasons of temptation in our life, to make us excellent lovers of God's will. Amen. Jesus has certain pivotal moments in his ministry on earth. Let's recall how Jesus, amen, was a worshiper of God. So, you know, the devil's going to come in and try to hinder that. Amen. With all kinds of what? Temptations. My God, Jesus's worship, in other words, his love for his Father's will. That's what worship basically is, our love for the Heavenly Father's will. And how do we learn of our Heavenly Father's will? As revealed from what? The Holy Word of God. Amen. So clapping on beat and on cue to certain songs and getting into the rhythm emotionally so as our senses are worked, is that worship? No, not necessarily, especially if it's just that. You know, movement without substance. Amen. We need the substance from glory. And if Jesus didn't have it when he was tempted, he would have failed. He would have faltered. Jesus' love for his Father's will was tested in the most profound ways. Think back to the wilderness after the 40-day fast. My God. Think back also that how he prayed in the garden, the Olive Garden, if you will, before allowing the betrayer, the turncoat Judas, to identify him to the antagonistic crowd that came to arrest him falsely. My God, even to face the death penalty. Jesus faced all of that because of his worship of God. When we worship God for real like that, there will be demonic haters, my God. I think people would rather fake it and not be hated by the demonic haters. They want to still be friends with the world while being friends with Jesus. But you can't be halted between two opinions. If you're going to serve God, serve ye him. If you're going to serve Baal, serve ye him. Yes, you can come on in and act like you're a sheep, but God sees your realness. You're really a goat, and not the greatest of all time necessarily. Maybe the greatest of all time being a hypocrite goat. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So he will separate the what? Sheep from the goats. The wheat from the tare. The tare looks like wheat, but it is not wheat. Amen. Thank God. So, amen. We need to look back at these pivotal moments in Jesus's life to know that when he said the world is not your friend, he really meant that. Amen. And when these strange things come in your life, temptations and snares and all of such things from the devil, amen, come. Don't think you're not saved. Yes, you are saved. If the devil hasn't attacked you in years and years, you need to be, amen, leery of that. And know that you are probably, amen, camped in Sodom. You have now become a citizen, yes, of Sodom. When you think you're a citizen of heaven and the devil is not fighting you tooth and nail, you have really, amen, camped out with a new residence in Sodom and Gomorrah. You have now rendered yourself over to spiritual harlotry. Spiritual harlotry, amen. Skipping out on God, putting the family to bed and going out looking for a carnal dinner. My God, we ought not be tipping out on God. God wouldn't tip out on us like that. My God, he's enamored by us. He loves us. What is man that thou art mindful of him? He's always got us on his mind. I can't get you out of my mind. One Christian rapper told his wife, I'm stuck on you like bubblegum on my blue jeans. I can't get you out of my mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I believe God loves us that way. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. Hallelujah. One last note and we're done. God gave me this addendum yesterday as I added it in. He said, don't forget in Deuteronomy 10, 20 and 21, the Lord reminded his people of the protocol of worship. The what? The protocol of worship. Saying this, quote, fear the Lord your God and serve him. Hold fast to him and take your oaths in his name. He is the one you praise. He is your God who performs for you those great and awesome wonders you saw with your own eyes. End quote. Oh, but who do we really worship? Let's be honest. People is the answer. A social-emotional hierarchy is so often the order of the day. Social-emotional hierarchy. We make a hierarchy, like a totem pole, of hierarchy in our midst. Who's the top gun? And who are the ones that fall below that, trickling down to the bottom one? My God. We don't necessarily want to be the bottom one. If we are considered one of the bottom feeders, we have a dressed up kind of name given to us. And we become so-called like the teacher's pet, if you will. So even though we may be considered just a doorkeeper, oh, but no, we are fabulous because we are in there. We are locked. We have fluent tongues and we can, you know, bark on cue and worship. But, you know, we're not necessarily loving God the way we ought to. But we are, rest assured, loved by the constituency in the house of God. I mean, the priests in the house of God. Hallelujah. So, yes, there's a political and even a social emotional hierarchy. It's so often the order of the day in our places of worship. We can choose to submit to celebrity, leaving our senses open to them, allowing our senses to be controlled, to render sensual reactions. We're going to bark on cue. Instead of biblically wise, spirit-led responses happening, we're going to have sensual reactions. And we can be conditioned in our senses. Even the scream of the pentatonic charismatic call of the Hammond organ can condition you into a dance, condition you, your hands gonna go up, much like Pavlov's dogs began to salivate when they heard the ringing of the bell, even though the meat didn't come that time. They were already conditioned to know the meat's going to come when the bell rings. So he conditioned his dogs. Psychology tells us that we can be what? Conditioned. Jude taught that religious sensuality can build and govern a need in us to faithfully support sensual assemblies. Unfortunately, we are living in the last days where there's a mighty buildup of sensual assemblies.
Yes, God.
Such associations lock us into the purpose of being respecters of people. Pedigree means a lot more to such souls. No one can oppose their subcultural celebrities. Oh, you better not say a cross word about their celebrity. No. They seem to disregard Colossians 3:25, where God is talking about he is not a respecter of persons, nor should we be that. Amen. Especially when disciples of the Holy Ghost are probed with such judgmental interrogation as this. Do you know what famous family that person comes from? Do you know the big church they come from? Do you know the big organization they come from or are a part of? That's what we're more concerned about, that right there. But God certainly blesses severally as he wills. Amen. Whether we like the person, whether they're carnal or whatever they are, God blesses people. And gifts come from the perfect Father of lights, where there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God gives gifts several as he will. Gifts come without repentance. Amen. We're gifted, yes. But are we saved?
Right.
We're gifted. But have we been given instruction by heaven? In other words, marching orders. In other words, anointed. Amen.
Amen.
That's what anointing really is. It's not just having the gifts.
Right.
We see the gifts flowing. Oh, they're anointed.
Right.
Not necessarily
right.
Walking in the anointing God told them to do things.
Right. Right.
Amen. There were men of God in the Bible anointed. But they began to have no more sense than the donkey they rode. Amen. Thank God. Of whose are you? The Holy Ghost is asking.
Right.
God will bless. Yes, he will. But guess what? Riches and fame are not the eternal qualifier. What is the eternal qualifier? Holiness. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's what we need in our life. Be holy, for I am what? Holy. You have to become whole to be holy. You can't be good on chapters 1 through 99, then chapter 100, you know, scoping up the honeys. You didn't get over that yet, but I'm not convicted of that yet. That's the new theology out here. It's not very new, but some have been teaching that for decades. You're not convicted, so we can't hold that against you. But if you read the whole Bible, amen, the whole counsel of the Lord, God will, amen, tell us about all points. Jesus was tempted on all points. Don't you know God teaches about all those points and instructs us accordingly on how we ought to avoid certain things? Amen. Don't even look at how the wine is flowing in the glass, God said. But we all looking at the commercial and licking our lips. Let's go get some. Because what are we doing? Meditating on it. The TV gave us what to watch and what to listen to. That's what the television does. We are meditating. And soon we're going to develop a hunger and a thirst for certain things that are against what the Bible said. Amen. In summary, let's remember where our blessings of promotion should come from. They come from God, the Father of lights, who is always faithful in his dealings with us. The scripture exhorts us to meditate on his holy word, making it the central, most important ideal to live by. The what? The word of God. Amen. The central, most important ideal to live by. Some people say that, but then if you look in the ecclesia of their subculture, you will notice how certain things are done. You have to look meticulously with God's eye and feel it with his heart to know of what sort it really is.
Right.
judge everything by the word of God. Mm-hmm. What's revealed in the holy word of God by the Holy Spirit. Not what you think the word means in your carnal mind. No, I'm not saying that. There are misunderstandings out there. That's why we have false theologies. Mm-hmm. But we need to seek to love God. Don't change his word. Love him. The word may hit you between the eyes, but you got to love that part too. Love the part you're good at and love the part you're not so good at. Amen. God's trying to, amen, fill the valleys in you. Love the part you're not so good at. Amen. God's trying to knock down the high places. Love the part that you're not so good at. Amen. God is trying to straighten up the crooked. Smooth over the rough. Amen. Yes, there's sandpaper in the spirit. Amen. There's a wrench. God's tightening you up. Amen. He's trying to get you, amen, to experience improvement. Amen. Home improvement. In this case, the Holy Ghost gave me this just instead of home improvement. Think about it. The Holy Ghost uses our body as his what? Temple. So we need what? Temple improvement. Amen. So let's seek to love God the way he ought to be loved, and we will reciprocate by allowing the Holy Ghost to come in, as he has just added this addendum, hot from the Holy Ghost, just in from the Holy Ghost. Allow him to, amen, improve upon your temple. Amen. For he has certain intentions from heaven for us to live by on this earth. Amen. Thank God. And God has certain ways that he feels about things. We ought to feel the same way. So seeking to love God and all he intended for us to be is how we will feel more alive than ever. No part of our inner being should be given over to idolatry, for it is the breach that leads to complete defeat. We must avoid the distractions of idolatry that surround us in our quest to know and serve God better. A supreme love for God must be maintained at all costs so that his kingdom is well advanced. Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is calling for discipleship right here and right now as we are in a contemplative prayer to think about what he has given for us to ponder over. Father God, amen. I pray this intercessory prayer on behalf of all who are in our midst today, but I'm doing it for you, through you, hallelujah, your auspices. I thank you, Lord. So yes, this intercessory prayer is for the faithful who love you, amen, who are the called according to your purpose. We need the kind of love for you, Jesus, that drowns out the noise of the flesh, drowns out the world and all the demons and those enticing spirits, seducing spirits that are trying to pull us left and right when we ought to stay on the straight and narrow, trying to hold us back when we ought to move forward in Jesus. My God, keeping our eyes down in the low parts of the valleys when we ought to be looking up to the holy hill of the Lord. My God. Eyes off the road means car off the road as we are driving. We got to keep our eyes on the road, on the straight and narrow. Your rod and staff gonna comfort me and help me to do that, Lord God. Your lamp is on my feet. It's helping me to have good steps, guided and guarded by the Lord. Help me, oh God. Your word is that lamp. Hallelujah. And a light for where I got to go down the path. I can see further down the path of where I gotta go. Help me, Lord, to avoid, amen, things that will come against what the Holy Ghost is saying. Oh, God, I gotta avoid and refuse the spirit of the enemy. Refuse the spirit of the secular humanistic world and its mindset. I thank you. I refuse the voice of my own innate sinfulness. I thank you, Lord. But I need to improve my temple by allowing the Holy Ghost to come and do what he came to do. He is my life coach, my parakletos in the Greek. Help me, O God, to hear what thus saith the Lord and to govern myself accordingly in Jesus' matchless name. Help us, O God, that we will avoid utter rebellion against God, even subtle rebellion against God, even that polite kind of churchy rebellion against God. We know you're able. Judgment begins at the house. Oh, help us, Lord. We can't make it in here. How are we going to make it out there? My God. We must now exclusively commit our eyes and heart to the move of God's Spirit. God wants our bodies to be his consecrated temple, not a den of thieves, nor a coven of rebellious witchcraft. Oh, God. We know you're able. People called by your name. We're humbly submitting to you. We're praying. We're seeking your face. Bless us with the power of the Holy Ghost to turn from our wicked ways. We know you're able. Let Jesus, oh God, be our Lord of all things in us. Oh, we know you're able. The enemy can and must be defeated, Lord, by your strength, by the omnipotent grace of God's inescapable eyes and holy heart. Be it so. We know you're able. Bless us to use the eyes and heart of God to defeat Satan. We thank you. We bless and praise your name. Hallelujah for all of who you are. We thank you. I don't want some of who you are. I want all of who you are. Oh, I thank you. Oh, I praise you. Oh, I give you the glory. Give you the honor. I give you the praise. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, God. I thank you. Oh, hallelujah, God.
We of the Realm of Agape Christian Church pray that the Holy Word of God has richly blessed your soul. To send prayer requests, use the contacts page of our website, www.roagape.org. We need your continued prayers and financial support to maintain this ministry. You can also find a secure means of donating on our website. God bless you.